So, hello and welcome to the OpenSUSE Conference 2024. I'm Markus Feindler, and I'm going to give you a short introduction into Gromonio, a drop-in replacement for Microsoft Exchange and your groupware solution, your open source groupware solution, maybe even. Some of you may know this picture. I've had it in my talk just now that was about national security and why open source is relevant for national security. It's from a recent holiday I did. It's a lighthouse. We all have many lighthouse projects. I'm not claiming Gromonio as a lighthouse project, but the British are still running their lighthouses because they don't want to be dependent on American or European GPS systems. And so that is something that they can simply drop in and replace the navigation just like they always had done. And so many people think they're running their lighthouses only for the tourists, but no, there is a question of independence and sovereignty connected to it. Why am I showing you this? It's because I'm me. I'm a priest, diplomat, ambassador, Jedi Knight. I'm from Regensburg, open source veteran. Many of you know me already. And I was a senior journalist, or am a senior journalist. I'm working as a consultant for my own company. And I started Linux in 1994. And currently, my job is being open source ambassador at Gromonio. I was the same open source ambassador for OwnCloud before. I'm doing basically what we would call open source PR for those companies. I'm helping them getting articles in the media. And I was team lead documentation at SUSE. And I worked as deputy editor-in-chief for Linux Magazine and Heise IX. And I'm still writing for all of them and writing for Golem also. Recently about ethical AI, open washing, open source in space, and doing some stuff with politicians and organizations. If you have questions about why I'm a priest diplomat, just ask me, or look at the OpenSUSE conference keynote from some years ago. Yes, I coined the term blameware many, many years ago when the German institution that runs the embassies in other countries switched back from Linux to Windows, and they gave the reason for the switch back from Linux. They said, to me as a journalist, I heard it very often, they said, well, if something fails with Linux and open source, it's always us to blame. We don't have a company to blame. So I coined the term blameware, and it's a very old principle, you all know it. It's nobody ever got fired for buying IBM, or later nobody ever got fired for buying Microsoft. But that leaves you in the driver's seat. Does that leave you in the driver's seat? I doubt. I think then there's somebody else in the driver's seat. And this somebody else may look cute at the beginning, but all that he or she does in the end is trying to grab your assets. Yeah? And the newest version of this that I've heard is about AI. Somebody said recently, if you're not the driver, then you are the data. All of that is basically FUD, yeah, but it worked. It worked very well, and so that's why we are stuck, actually, with kind of leading groupware products, and this is also not new to anybody of you. It's Microsoft Exchange, Exchange Online, and Microsoft 365. And these products, especially from Microsoft, they come with a certain legacy. I don't want to talk much about their failures, but just recently, these four things are just from this year and last year. The US government has been criticizing Microsoft about their security culture. In Scotland, Microsoft had to admit that they cannot guarantee data security or sovereignty for UK policing data. German schools said they cannot assure data protection rules with Microsoft 365 just because they are too small and don't have the skills to protect it. And just recently, the Delos Cloud is where our Chancellor Scholz was said to have tried to establish SAP-run Microsoft Cloud for all of the German administration. It's pretty obvious that a Microsoft Cloud doesn't become digitally sovereign just because SAP is running it. And it will still be a Microsoft Cloud and will still be affected by problems like the lost master key of the first line. Read it, it's interesting. You will like to read this, I guess. So the problem is pretty well known, especially when you're talking about Exchange. There may be some sticker somewhere that has access for everybody to all of your systems. Just like I was with SUSE just after Attachmate had bought them, and I was in one of their offices in the US, and I couldn't believe it when I saw this keyboard there. I guess you spot the mistake, yeah? So here we are again with the lighthouses, and there is a lighthouse project, in my opinion, coming in. I told you what I've done. I'm at that age that I feel myself something like a business angel in open source. I choose open source projects that I like and I think that are dearly needed, and then I try to help them with all my might and all my words and whatever that I can. And that's actually why I'm here. And Gromunio is one of the few, I think the only project that can really help you with getting rid of Exchange. And one of the examples that I can bring here is the Helmholtz Center in Berlin last year. They had a ransomware attack, and they managed to get rid of Exchange after this attack within 2 weeks because they had already been testing Gromunio. So they had a fallback that was already set up and running, and so they could just switch over and it was running. That was possible because we have partners like the Telekom with the Open Telekom Cloud, and they made this possible. They were helping the Helmholtz Center. And when you hear the Telekom Cloud, then you can also think about that might be a very scalable solution, Gromunio. I'll come to that later, but yes, it is. What is Gromunio? We have groupware, we have mobile device management, we have archive, we have Gromunio Meet, Gromunio Chat, and files and office. So you may think that's a lot more than Exchange has to offer. Yes, but it's only possible because we're open source. We have Gromunio Meet is Jitsi, we have Gromunio Chat is Mattermost, we have Gromunio Files that is Nextcloud, and the office is Collabora, and we have Gromunio Archive and mobile device management and the standard groupware things. And all of that is compatible with Microsoft Exchange or with Outlook, because, and users will not notice any difference because those great developers, one of them is sitting there at Gromunio, they implemented the Microsoft Exchange protocols. So what we have is a native interface for full MAPI support, and it's supporting every extensions, plugins, or client-side API that you can imagine. And it's fully featured, so it's transparent, it's one-to-one compatible, and fully featured for example Outlook and other clients. So we have apps, but we also have IMAP and POP support, we have Carl Cardiff support, we have MAPI, mobile push, web. What you see here is we have a mix of formerly proprietary but open standards. We have Microsoft standards and we have the open source standards. Also, only possible because of the massive use of open source. So what we have is, as I said, core communication, mail, calendar, contacts, tasks, and notes. Then auxiliary communication like Meet and chat and video, and enterprise security and compliance. It's open source, and other than Microsoft Exchange, it's fully GDPR, CCPA, and e-privacy compliant. It is secure because it is certified and confirmed by bounty runs and other resources. And it's digitally sovereign because there's no dependency on any remote infrastructure, and you still have full control over all your data. And again, native, compatible, it's scalable both in both ways, and there's actually no limit, not even the theoretical limit in how much we can scale. And it's modular, that's also what's helping with the scalability, and as I said many times before, it's completely open source. Of course, based on specifications, that's also where a great thank you goes out to the FSFE and Georg Greve, who fought through in court the process that Microsoft had to open its specifications on the Exchange protocols. And some of the wonderful developers had to read more than 8,000 pages of documentation and reference implementation in order to get those more than 50 Exchange protocols implemented in open source and put the implementation free for everybody on GitHub. The code, efficient coding, of course, with modern tools and modern tests and everything, and it's most of it of the core is implemented in C, and that makes it much faster than other solutions in that place. And test-driven development and that all brings higher code quality. So speaking of company culture, like in the example from Microsoft that the US government criticized. So I think we are much farther there. And that makes us the first open source MAPI and HTTP and Exchange Web Service implementation, and the only known implementation the world utilizes for the MAPI protocol is Microsoft. So we are the first open source fully compatible solution for that. It's unique, scalable, and we provide native protocols. So you see a long list of what we offer: RPC over HTTP, WebRTC, WebSockets, and IMAP POP SMTP. And we support single point of entry, of course, clustering, and yes, we have one database per user, and that is also a very interesting concept if you want to dive more into that more. That's really one of the large, one of the core aspects why our system is so performing so much better than even Exchange itself. We also bring Microsoft Active Directory, Open LDAP, and for internal user management. I think I said that before, that we are multi-domain, multi-tenant. We are able for multi-tenancy, so we are also the first open source groupware solution that where you can have multiple Exchange domains on one server and manage them from our web interface. And we have an API. For example, we have a CLI, we have an API, and we have a web administration interface. The configuration is almost everything is done in text files, and you can I can show it later. I have a screenshot of that also, that you can access the Gromunio server just as with your favorite terminal if you want. And it can be run in the cloud or on-premise. We can get the data in through the PST import from the Outlook backups itself, or we can do a product-based import, or you can get your data in there with the standard IMAP tools. And it's real-time migration, yes. We scale up to, we have installations with more than 1 million users possible, and you can imagine that the telecom cloud is very is looking into that. The telecom is looking into that with a very high scrutiny that this really works, because they're promising that. And that is also only possible because of the modular components and the highly efficiency and the testing and all of that high level stuff that we do. We are a very technical company with something like 30 people, and 20 of them are developers. And so that's, I think, but exists since 4 years. And I think that's a very good ratio in that time of our existence. As I said, we have a state-of-the-art web-based management interface. Here you see a glimpse of it. It is a documented and standardized REST API. We've got the command line interface with it and integrated configuration management. I'll give you a short glimpse of it soon. So we call ourselves a drop-in replacement for Exchange. And if you want to know about the protocols and the details of that and all the quirks and learnings and atrocities that a developer or a lead developer has to face when he's diving into these 8,000 lines of 8,000 pages of documentation for the protocols, then you should see Jan Engelhardt, he's sitting there, talk at FOSDEM this year. As you can see, the room was overcrowded. People were so interested in that. And it also created some interesting new connections, because this year we published the support for Exchange Web Services. Maybe you know Exchange Web Services is very, very important for Apple clients. So Apple Mail, when it connects to an Exchange server, it will use EWS, Exchange Web Services. And the interesting thing about EWS is that it was actually invented by Microsoft, or introduced by Microsoft, with the intention of making third-party developments possible and attach themselves in an easy way to an Exchange server. And they were also encouraging that. And that's what also happened with Linux tools. I'll come to that in a second. And as I said before, there's no plugin, no registry entries. But on this after this presentation, some people from Mozilla and Thunderbird showed up and said, that's really cool to know, so that gives us a reason for trying and doing another try to implement EWS directly in Thunderbird, which would be great. I don't know the current state of that, but that seems to be awesome. Generally, the combination of open source and Microsoft standards is what convinced me then, because I'm not an Outlook user, never have been, but I'm using Linux desktop tools, and I can still use email and everything just like normal. So there we are again with the open specifications and the directories and stuff. We have this mix of protocols here that are open and specified. So there's MAPI HTTP, and you see the implementation in which programming language is implemented. The left side is C++ 17, the right side is PHP 8. Yeah? So we have the web tools, CALDAV and CARDAV in PHP 8. And EAS is Exchange Active Sync, if I'm right. Please nod, Jan, thank you. And I don't know all of the details about that, but I told you about MAPI HTTP, the storage, Exchange Web Services behind it. We have Zsco, that's a PHP to MAPI bridge. Some of the old ones will remember that somebody else also had that before, but that's a long time ago. We have auto-discover and auto-config for clients, so all you have to enter is domain and mail name, actually, and then it will automatically configure itself to the right Grumio server, just like you would expect it to do with an Exchange server. We support POP3, IMAP, and EMS, MDB, NSP, DCE, RPC. I don't really know all of the... I'm not that technical. Have I said that before? How did we do that? Well, the typical tool that colleagues like Jan used to reverse engineer the protocols is tools like Fiddler. And what you see here is it's basically, I say it's like a Wireshark for those protocols. You see the packages, the protocols, and here is where you can exactly find out what error message or why something fails, for example, or why something works. Deep inspection, basically. That's basically one of the major tools that has been used over the last years to get these things done. The cool thing is, that's actually then my job. I have to take the stuff they did and write long blog posts on the website or in articles. And here you see what I did. I tried and I connected Contact, KDE Contact, with the Grumio server over EWS. Over Exchange Web Services, I connected Evolution and I connected Thunderbird. Thunderbird will get a native Exchange Web Services implementation soon. At the moment, there is one that you can buy for 1, 2, 3, 4 euros a month or so. And I tested them and I found out that Evolution works very well with it. Thunderbird is working also nicely, not as perfect, with this proprietary plugin. And KDE Contact has some actually minor quirks that prevent it from working. It pretends to work, but it doesn't. And here comes in the power of an open source solution, and every Exchange admin will love that when they have a look into that. This is the web interface of Grumio, and I am in the monitoring section. Yeah? And in the monitoring section, I'm in the logging area, and in the logging area, I'm looking at the Gromox HTTP server. And I have, which I'll show you in the next slide, and then I go back here. So what I have done before, and this is the beauty of text-based configuration. I mean, I leave it up to you what is possible with automation and whatever, but it's our good old Linux and open source standards. Yeah? So I have a config file that has EWS configurations in it. Yeah? I would tell Gromox to do request and response logging in Exchange Web Services, and then I would tell the HTTP server to increase the log level. It is commented out here because you just want to have that running when you are debugging and not all the time, because there's, as you can see, there's a lot of data being collected. And somewhere here in this line is the wrong delimiter or something that Contacts is sending. 5 minutes? Great, that's perfect. Only got 50 more slides. So somewhere in this line, Jan will probably find the wrong delimiter that causes Contact to fail. And that is, I've been told, something that is very hard to do or get when you're working with Exchange servers. So this transparency is one of the powerful things in open source. And here you got the config files. Yep, that's a slide that we already saw. And I said before, behind all these fancy shiny objects, we have Gromox, and here you see it. You can see Gromox is on GitHub also. Yeah, it's packaged. The whole system is running. It's deployed in a variety of versions. If you download the ISO image, you will be happy to find out that it's running on Leap. Yeah, but there's also containers and yada yada yada. Lots and lots of different platforms we support. Here we see. So Gromox is actually the core of the whole of Gromunio. That's implemented in C and that's running the whole thing. We have open source standard tools and like connected to it, and the tools for admins. And thanks to the FSFE, we've got the open specs. And not only that, who is this Jan Engelhardt? I don't know. Ah, there he is. We also, Microsoft is very open about these specs, and so they accept contributions. And so the guys, Jan and his people, they when they found mistakes in the documentation, for example, this is where they uploaded and where they documented all of their contributions to Microsoft. So these guys are not only building their own product, they're also improving the enemy. But that's openness, yeah? So I showed you the chat before, I think. Yeah, this is the chat window in progress, and this is the web. This is the web admin interface on my own server. Installation of Gromunio server takes about 20 minutes, something like that. It takes actually more to create the relevant DNS entries at your provider that you need and wait for until they are broadcasted or implemented everywhere, communicated. So this is it, it's got professional monitoring built in and a lot of settings. You have to create an organization, domains, users, contacts, and all of that. You have policies and rule-based, role-based things, everything that you would expect and much more than the standard Microsoft product has to offer. Then I already showed, this is the Electron client on my terminal server that I am using for easy access, so I just have to start my Linux terminal server. Okay, 1 minute last. And the next thing that's coming is the Graph client, because Microsoft Graph is the next thing to go. That's how they communicate in Microsoft Office and in the Microsoft Cloud. And I put a link here in the that you can read. It will be the single one meta API that connects all the dots between the different products in Microsoft's Cloud. And I was told you can address single, it's very complex, and you can address single files, single fields in Excel files, for example. What I know up to now is that there is only two or maybe three groups of open source people working on an open source graph implementation. We are the first ones that have a working mail and groupware client. I know that OwnCloud is working on a files client. So Graph is a meta API for all the functions that you have in Microsoft's Cloud, 365, OneDrive, whatsoever. So the OneDrive thing is what is OwnCloud interested in. And we are, of course, we are coming from the groupware thing. So that will be a personal thing for me that I want to achieve in the next year or month, getting the dots together, getting the people together, and maybe, yeah, if you're interested in Graph, maybe talk to me. My idea is having a graph meetup, an open source graph, MS Graph meetup. Until then, keep reading our website, because this thing will be open to the public pretty soon. I think you can already try to log in on next.gromunio-demo.com, but I don't know what you're getting then. So I think this was a exact timing now. It's 12 o'clock, and I'm open for your questions.
So thanks, Markus. One question I always have about open source companies is how do they make money? So in this one, how does Gromunio want to make money with this? Do you have a specific customer in mind? If you have customers now, how do you see the future for Gromunio? As I said, every company is entitled to have their revenue. How is that looking for Gromunio?
It's pretty obviously it's software and support model, and we sell seats and software licenses, and we have partners, the standard ecosystem actually, and we have cloud solutions, we run them.
Markus, don't get me wrong, you told about scalability, mm-hmm. and you said Telecom Cloud is investigating million clients. Which is the largest installation that has already been found working seamlessly?
That I don't know. I have to ask that. Jan, do you know?
I'm on the NDA. See.
I remember that last year before I started here, there was at least one customer that had 100,000 accounts on one server, but I don't know who it was, and I don't know if I may talk about it, but yeah.
Just a rule of thumb.
Yeah. I'll have to deliver that later.
Okay.
They're doing amazing things. They, for example, when it comes to email, I come from email, and so Jan, again, correct me if I'm telling bullshit in terms of technical details, but we're using a PostgreSQL database for the content, for the binary blobs and the content
SQLite.
Of the emails.
SQLite.
No, SQLite is for the metadata.
SQLite is used for your mails, and other than that, there is MySQL for the global user data, but that's generally read-only anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought we were using a different database for the mail and its attachments, and SQLite for the header files, and that makes it faster to access the things that you need fast, while you don't need to load the whole attachments and stuff.
Well, the attachments are stored just on disk, because, I mean, there are different opinions on whether you should or should not store attachments, which vary wildly in size from 100 bytes for company icons in the signature to multi-megabyte PDFs, whether you should store them in a database like that or as flat files. And the common wisdom so far seems to be flat files, and a file system that doesn't completely suck is acceptable. But we're eyeballing possibly integration into the database, but for other reasons such as indexing.
You see, that's why I like working for this company. There's always somebody that knows more than I do. That's the best you can end up with. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Oh. Yeah, maybe just this one thing here, if we are not in a hurry. That's the admin interface, as you can see it after fresh install on a server. Yeah? And this is the overview. You can create an organization, then you can add a domain to the organization, then you can add users to the domain, make contact data, define roles for the users, and define defaults for new users and whatsoever. You have the LDAP directory that you can directly address here, database configuration, the servers, and then there's the queues and mobile devices that you can manage. Redis is not available. Well, that's my fault, probably. Yeah, but whatever. So this is, and there is a. We also have a demo if you're interested in it. Good.